Wednesday, March 23rd, the day for me consisted of two main events. First, flying with Lyndon, practically the whole New York delegation, J. Edgar Hoover and Attorney General Katzenbach, to New York to attend the funeral of Mrs. Emanuel Seller. Her husband Manny has been in the house longer than any other member. He's one of the five members who were in the House when Lyndon first came to Washington as a congressional secretary in 1931. Many's the time I've heard Speaker Sam Rayburn talk about him when he and Lyndon would be planning some legislative business. He flew under what the press called unusual security precautions, and it was not until after the newsmen had boarded their chartered plane and the doors were closed that they were told where the president was going. I believe it's far more Lyndon's desire not to have a whole army of New York policemen lining the route at great expense to the city and a lot of sightseers going to the funeral rather than it is any concern for his own safety. Certainly, I do not feel a flicker. It was the first Jewish funeral I remember attending, and it was very sweet and personal. A description of Mrs. Seller's life and tributes to her from the Bible and from poetry. Congressman Rooney is sitting by me, pointed out all the family members. One daughter in a wheelchair has had muscular dystrophy all of her life. They've kept nurses with her since she was born, John Rooney said. What an incredible load, spiritual and financial, for a couple to bear. Right behind me was Senator Kennedy. Farther back, Mayor Lindsey. We spoke briefly, stopped for a word with Manny Sellers and his daughter, other members of the family, and the completely helpless invalid daughter. Waved rather somberly at the crowd, and then were off through the dreary streets. The three or four congressmen piled in with us. Gene Keogh, Edna Kelly, Abe Mulder, John Rooney, where their districts began and ended. What they could tell in all this grayness, I do not know. The ride was filled with a sharp, humorous give-and-take about legislative programs going on, and Lyndon savoring every moment of it, and making it count. He was enjoying being with them, or else he's an absolutely A1 actor. Back at the White House, I got my house guests settled. Always use occasions like this, state dinners or big receptions, to invite out-of-town guests who are very close to us to spend the night in the White House. This time it was the Doug Wins from Greenville, Mississippi, and the Frank Denises and Donald Thomases from Austin. Patsy is a great help on telling them all about how to get cars and breakfast and sightseeing and where the swimming pool is and the flower room. She's very warm and capable. I am blessed with my staff. And then the second event of the day was a judicial reception in honor of the Chief Justice. This time, because his 75th birthday had taken place a day or so before, we wanted to add a special sort of a salute to him. We'd ask him and all the members of his family, Virginia, who's married to John Daly, and the young James Warrens, who had been Linda's or Lucy's host during a Republicans for Johnson, of all things, rally in California, and Mrs. Carmen Clemente, and Nina Warren, called Honey Bear, her husband, Dr. Stuart O'Brien, to come up to the Yellow Room at 6:15. So we had a very pleasant little family visit. Lyndon made a toast. They told us all about the birthday party. He has the most kindly, wholesome countenance of nearly anyone in Washington. I could only wish for us that Lyndon would look as strong and feel as well at 75 and be as satisfied with his life. A little before 7, the other members of the Supreme Court came in, and the Attorney General. And then, a little past 7, Lyndon and Mrs. Warren and the Chief Justice and I led the guests downstairs, stopping, however, for an unusual picture this time. We moved Chief Justice John Marshall down into Alexander Hamilton's spot, and we stood beneath him, Bess and Liz Seek variations in the inevitable picture at the foot of the stairs. I wore my brown lace dress and felt terribly feminine and got more compliments than any time. We'd asked the Warrens to stand in the line with us in the blue room. This made it a little bit slow, but ever so much more intimate and meaningful. Almost all the guests had something dear to say to the Chief Justice as they came by. Besides the court, of course, nearly all the cabinet was there. John and Mary Connor, Trudy and Joe Fowler, and Jane and Orville Freeman, and of course the Attorney General and Lydia, and Bob McNamara alone, and the O'Briens, he'd been with us earlier to New York, and Stu and Lee, who asked if I had my country clothes packed. and Secretary and Mrs. Weaver. They were old friends like the Clark Cliffords and Judge Sarah Hughes and the Leon Jaworskis and Judge Marvin Jones, whom time touches lightly as a kiss. And the Paul Kildays. This is about the only time of the year I ever see them, and I was so sorry that Jean and Ann Worley could not be. They are still ill, and they are off vacationing. And Mrs. Mitchell Palmer. I did try to remember all of the widows, the Supreme Court justices, as well. It was only a scattering that who came. And the Jim Pipkins, and the Henry Schweinharts, and the Ed Weisels. And there was another category which makes me feel my years. The sons or daughters of old friends, the Ed Weisels Juniors, Fred Vinson's, Ramsey Clark, the Frank Rosencrafts, and Leela and Doug Wynn, and some very old friends such as Paul Porter and Jim Rowe, and Tom Corcoran, his brother Howard Corcoran, is one of Lyndon's appointees, and Thurman Arnold's, and the Oscar Coxes. Bill Moyers brought his mother and father-in-law by. Several of the White House fellows were there, the one from Justice, of course. And the very colorful trial lawyer, Edward Bennett Williams, with his wife. It was a beautiful occasion, so I had invited a few friends who have nothing to do with the legal world. The Donald Reyes, the Marshall McNeils, whose home we've been twice since Lyndon became president. Scoop Russells. Drew Pearson was there, with mustache so white, suddenly so much older, that I hope my face not show my surprise. Among new appointees, it was fun to welcome the Barefoot Sanders. And the Thurgood Marshalls, and always a delight to see those gentle, good folks, Tony and Ann Celebrezzi. The Senate Judiciary Committee, Senator Eastland, as always regretted, follows his imperturbable way in the Senate. If he participates in any social affairs, I don't know when or where. But for all his antipathy to this administration, I feel no personal hostility between us. Senator Teddy Kennedy, also of the Judicial Committee, had accepted, but I do not remember seeing him come. I think I would have noticed. And our good friend Marty Bullion neither came nor answered the invitation. It was a very merry reception, with a delicious buffet. Lennon and I went from room to room. We started the dancing in the lobby. He always wants to make his partners the same height that he is. He sort of pulls you up, which I am afraid had a very noticeable effect on my dress, which was already daringly short. It was 9 o'clock when we went upstairs to join our house guests, and we'd also asked the Jaworskis to come. We talked Texas politics, had another drink and dinner on the tray, and Lyndon loaded the Jaworskis with presents for their 10-year-old son, who was back at the hotel waiting for them. This was one of those days when I felt satisfied with my work. I believe the Chief Justice and his family knew the respect and the fondness in which we held him, and I hope that all the 500 or so guests sensed the warmth and the pleasure in the occasion that I certainly felt.